I'm excited to start a new message series this weekend, the I Am Sayings of Jesus. And Jesus actually had some things to say about himself, about who he was, and his mission and his purpose in life. And so we're going to take a few weeks and look at these I Am Sayings. There are actually seven of them, and they all appear in the Gospel of John. And it's pretty neat because they speak about who Jesus is in his own words. And it's not just about Jesus, but it also speaks to how it impacts our lives, not just his identity, but how it shapes our identity, each one of these phrases. And so we're going to be doing this for about 7 weeks, and I think it's going to be great. So the first one we're going to talk about today is, I am the bread of life. How many of you like bread? I love bread. When we go out to a restaurant, a nicer restaurant, and they bring the basket of bread, if it's really good bread, I'm excited. And I have a hard time, like, not eating all the bread and just getting full on that. And this is the absolute truth. If the bread is really good, I'll skip dessert. And when everyone else is having dessert, I'll just have another piece of bread because I love it. There were two guys that were talking together. One was telling the other one, his friend, about how he had taken his wife out to dinner for their anniversary. And he was sharing with his friend that it was a special restaurant where they made the food right in front of you. And his friend was like, you know, I've heard of restaurants like that. What was the name of it? And his friend said, Subway. How special is that? So let's look at this phrase of Jesus in John chapter 6 where he says, I'm the bread of life. It shows up in verse 35 of John 6, and it goes like this. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So, by way of introduction, I just kind of want to lay the foundation and kind of set it up here so that you can understand maybe more deeply about what Jesus is saying here. So just three comments to make by way of introduction. Number one, when Jesus says, I am, he's putting two verbs together. And this is unusual, and when the people that were hearing it would think it would be unusual, but it would also be very significant. It would be almost like Jesus was repeating himself, I am, or almost like he's stuttering. The Greek here in the New Testament, the original language is Greek. The two words for I am are ego eime. And the word ego, E-G-O, is where we get our English word ego. And it means to exist. It's referring to kind of your personality or who you are as a person. And then the word eime means to be. All right? So like you're here, you're present. So Jesus is saying, I am, or I am even, I am. Now, this was the same phraseology that God used of himself when he revealed himself in the burning bush to Moses. Pastor Fred talked about that last week. Remember, Moses comes upon this bush and it's burning but not being consumed by the fire. And God begins to speak and Moses says, but when I go back to tell the people, who should I say sent me? What is your name? And the Lord said, I am that I am. And it's basically saying, I am God. I am never ending. I am never changing. I am always present. And when Jesus says, I am, this was not even a thinly veiled reference back to the burning bush. The people that were listening to him would know that he was referring back to that. And it would offend them, some of them. Number two, by way of introduction, when Jesus says bread, he was talking about the most important part of the meal. Kind of hard for us to understand. When we go to a restaurant, we usually focus on the entree, the piece of meat, the steak, or whatever it is. We rarely think the bread is the centerpiece, unless, of course, you're going to Olive Garden or Texas Roadhouse or Red Lobster. I'm getting hungry. Let's just say amen and go to lunch, right? In Jesus' day, meat was simply a side dish. And the bread represented the major part of the meal. When Jesus says, I'm the bread of life, Jesus is saying, I am the most important part of life. Okay, and lastly, by way of introduction, when Jesus makes this I am statement, this I am the bread of life, it's just one day after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. So if you have your Bibles open to John 6, look back towards the beginning of the chapter and you'll see that story where the crowd is gathered and they're hungry and they find this little boy that has his lunch, which is five little barley loaves and two fish. And Jesus multiplies that bread and those fish and feeds 5,000 men. And that doesn't include women and children. So maybe it was 10,000 people, maybe 15,000. And the people that were listening to Jesus say, I am the bread of life, right away they're thinking back because they would have heard of this. The word had been about town that, you know, this guy did this miracle. And so they were thinking about the bread that Jesus had multiplied. They knew it was Jesus that had done it, and really they wanted him to keep doing it. And the other thing that this would remind them of was when God provided bread in the Old Testament for the Israelites when they left the slavery of Egypt and they were in the wilderness for 40 years, and every single day for 40 years, bread, manna, came down from heaven and God provided for his people to be able to eat. They would have been thinking about that too. So let's tie these thoughts together and look at some of the verses in John 6. And one more thing that helps understand. We know where Jesus was when he was making this teaching, when he was giving this teaching. Verse 59 of John chapter 6 tells us that Jesus is in the synagogue in Capernaum. And so the synagogue would be kind of like coming to church. And people would expect the rabbi or the teacher to get up and give a teaching. And so this is the context. Jesus is in the synagogue. Everybody's listening to him. It'd be predominantly a Jewish audience and even Jewish leaders. And sometimes there'd be interaction. There'd be questions and answers. And so look at John 6, starting in verse 30. So the crowd is actually asking Jesus a question. And it says, so they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Here's the inference here. How about some more of that bread, Jesus? Verse 31, our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who has given you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So in this story, in this metaphor that Jesus uses, calling himself bread, he really is revealing two things. This is what I really see in John 6, revealing two major things. One is true motivation, and the other one is true need. So let's look at the first one, true motivation. The first point under true motivation is this. Sometimes people come to Jesus because of the benefits they get from him instead of the relationship they get with him. The Jews that Jesus was talking to still had physical, edible bread on their mind when Jesus was sharing, and they kept missing the point. We just read it in John 6, 33. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. They weren't thinking about, oh yeah, Jesus is the bread. So give us some more of you, Jesus. What they were thinking about was real bread. And they were like, come on, Jesus, more of that. Remember what you just did yesterday? How about more of that? Meet our physical needs. Feed us real bread. How about a free meal? So let me just make application right away here. If we are not careful in our view of God, Our religious practice can become transactional. Here's what I mean by that. We come to God, maybe we come to church, we worship, we pray, we maybe serve in some capacity, but we're kind of thinking we're going to get something in return, right? So like if we're going to serve God, maybe God would give us something back. It's kind of like getting paid for your work. And I think the Jews kind of had this on their mind. I wonder if it's possible to come to church and you're driven mostly by need, right? I mean, maybe you're coming because you're feeling kind of desperate. Maybe you have a physical need or a pressing financial need or a relationship need or a spiritual need. And that's what kind of drives you to church, because you feel like if I come there, if I arrive there, then I'll get something back. God, we say something like or think something like, God, please meet my needs, but don't interrupt or interfere or make demands on how I live my life. Listen, I want you to know that it's okay to come to God when you have needs. Jesus said, come to me when you're weary and heavy laden. I mean, we're invited to come to the Lord. And it's okay to allow your need to bring you to Jesus. That's okay. But here's the point. It can't stop there. That can't be the end. The point that Jesus is making in the I am the bread of life is you come to him for him. He is the end. And it isn't just to get a need met, but it's to develop relationship with him. It's to connect with the bread of life, to deepen your connection and your relationship with him. The Apostle Paul was listing his extensive religious credentials in the book of Philippians. But he states that they pale in comparison to a personal relationship with the Savior. Look at Philippians 3, verses 7 to 9. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Our coming to Christ and following Jesus is not mainly to get something from him, but rather it's to develop relationship with him. I've been praying this week that God would help me and that God would help you, that he'd reveal our true motivation for coming to Christ, and that he would help us develop pure motives. Here's the second point under true motivation. When an individual encounters Jesus, a decision has to be made. And the way you decide actually reveals your motive. When you come to Jesus, do you decide to follow him? How do you continue to follow him? So later on in chapter 6, Jesus makes a challenging and somewhat confusing statement that we must feed on him in order to have eternal life. Look at it in John 6, verses 57 and 58. Jesus speaking, Jesus teaching, just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus is not endorsing cannibalism, but rather, he's revealing the radical nature of believing in him as Messiah and the Son of God and God in the flesh, Lord of all, and that this needs to deeply impact our lives. As we consume him, we live in him and through him and by him. Many listening to Jesus that day, they could not accept this teaching. Look at John 6, verse 60. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, now stop for a second, and if I were underlining something in my Bible, I'd underline the word disciples, because these were like the followers of Jesus. Disciple means follower or student. And so they've been following Jesus for a while. It brought them to the synagogue that day. Now, we're in John chapter 6, which seems kind of early in the gospel. So you might think it's early in Jesus' ministry, but actually, he's into year 2, almost year 3. So these folks, many of them had been following. Imagine this in your head. They've been following Jesus, staying close to him, probably from town to town, and they heard his teaching personally. They witnessed his miracles. So these are the people he's talking to. It says in verse 60, the disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." In other words, when Jesus is saying, "Feed on me," he's talking about a spiritual consumption that leads to life. Some of the disciples, many of them, maybe most of them, actually left on hearing this teaching. Look at verse 66. "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." 2 years of watching, witnessing, hearing, and this phrase, "I am the bread of life," and the impact of what it truly means caused many of them to say, "If this is what it means, Jesus, to follow you, I'm out." And I think that many of them got up and walked out of the synagogue. Now, in my 30 years of full-time ministry work and speaking in front of people, a couple of times I can remember somebody getting up and walking out, and it wasn't just to go to the bathroom. I'm like, oops, something I said. But can you imagine, like, most of the room getting up and walking out? How that really made Jesus feel? And we actually have insight into how that made Jesus feel. Look at verse, I think it's verse 66, no, verse 67. Jesus looks at his disciples, he says, "Do you want to leave me too?" Simon Peter answered him and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." So here's kind of the application. I think sometimes we can get this view in our heads that our relationship with God is transactional, and when something's not happening, we can get frustrated. And sometimes people come to a crisis point of faith. It works like this. You've got a real desperate need in your life, and you've come to God, you've brought that need, you've been praying to God, and time goes on, and the prayers aren't getting answered, and heaven seems brass, and God seems distant, and you're called to continue to follow him and to continue to serve him, but nothing's happening, and things aren't changing. I mean, maybe that physical need, you just is still not getting that healing or that miracle, or maybe you've got an emotional need, and you just continue to try and work through these problems. Maybe it's a financial need and the bills aren't getting paid and I don't know what it could be, but you've been following Christ and things aren't changing and you're at this crisis point of faith. And Jesus says, "Am I enough? Am I enough?" And this is what the crowd was facing with Jesus. And when Jesus was saying, "I'm asking you to consume me and be consumed by me, and that's what it means for me to be the bread of life in your life." And that's when people were like, "I'm out." But the disciples recognized, they saw, the apostles, the 12, the ones that were closest to Jesus, saw, and Peter said, "But where should we go? Who else has the words of eternal life?" A true encounter with Jesus will reveal your true motivation and how you connect with Jesus and how you continue with Jesus. It will also reveal your true need. And that's what else we see in John chapter 6. True need. The first point under true need is sometimes your perceived need is not your actual need or your greatest need. The people that Jesus was speaking to perceived that their natural needs were their greatest needs. We need bread. We need food. We need sustenance for daily life. And Jesus wanted to confront that perception and correct that perception. Look at verse 47 of John 6. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." And Jesus did sacrifice his flesh on the cross for the world. And what Jesus is saying here in these verses, that your greatest need is not your temporal need, it's your eternal need. It's your need for forgiveness. It's your need for redemption. It's your need for ongoing transformation into Christ-likeness in your life. That's your greatest need. Later on, John would write the epistles of John, and in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, it says this, "And this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life." The word for life in the New Testament is translated from two different Greek words. Okay, the one Greek word for life in the New Testament is bios, and that's just like natural life or physical life, biological life. The other Greek word for life in the New Testament is zoe, Z-O-E, and that's a quality of life, a fullness of life, a life with meaning and purpose. And when John uses this word life in the Epistle of John, he's using zoe. When Jesus says, "I'm the bread of life," he's using zoe. And so what John is really teaching here is that in Jesus is everything you need for life. I mean for real life, for full life, for having meaning and purpose in life. It's found in Jesus. And this is really what your true need is. It's more than just, can I have bread so that I can keep on existing? Because I have to eat to live. How many of you have eaten in the last week? It's one of the reasons you're able to be here today. But Jesus is saying, don't just eat bread that eventually stops being useful to you. Eat the bread that will take you into eternity and will give you life in this life that is lasting and meaningful and full and ultimately leads to eternal life. And that is a good segue to the last point. And this is like the nail hitting the hammer on the head. Have you heard that phrase before? I'm not a very good hammering kind of guy. Some of the guys can swing a hammer with all their might and they're always hitting the nail on the head. But I'm telling you that the phrase that Jesus uses hits the nail on the head. And it's the phrase we've been focusing on. Jesus didn't come to give bread. Jesus came to be bread. Verse 35. It's the turning point. It's the high point. It's Jesus' description of himself in his own words. "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty.'" Jesus didn't just come to improve your life. He came to be your life. Jesus is both the means and the meaning of life. Jesus is. And only Jesus ultimately and completely in a lasting and enduring way satisfies our deepest needs. Only Jesus. You can't find that in another person. You can't find that kind of lasting satisfaction in a relationship. It's not in a possession. It's not in material wealth. It's not in an activity. It's not in a sport. It's not in a leisure. It's not in a hobby. It's not in a substance. It's not in food. It's not in drugs or alcohol. It's not in a job or a career. It's not in your married partner. It's not in your children or in your grandchildren. Listen, most of the things I just mentioned are not bad things. But even those things that are okay, that are good in life, ultimately can leave you hungry and wanting. They don't meet the deepest needs of your life. Jesus will never leave you hungry. Jesus said, "Come to me. I'm the bread of life. He who eats of me will never hunger and will never be thirsty," because Jesus is the only one that ultimately and only satisfies. Jesus didn't come to give bread. Jesus came to be bread. I found this picture online of a loaf of bread, and you might recognize the brand. It's Wonder Bread. And I'm a little embarrassed to tell you that I spent hours looking for Wonder Bread. I went to every store in Cloquet, Hermantown, and Duluth, and I could not find Wonder Bread. And to some of you, that may not be a surprise. Because if you've ever read the ingredients of Wonder Bread, you might wonder if it's really bread. Wonder Bread was developed in the 1920s. And in the 1930s, they had a very innovative invention. They were one of the first bread companies to pre-slice their bread before they put it into a package. Aren't you glad that happened? Actually, in 2007, Wonder Bread went out of business, first out in California, because people out in California developed a healthier mindset and kind of had a more discriminating taste, so they stopped buying it. It's that kind of bread where, and some people say it's delicious, but it's that kind of bread where you make a sandwich and it kind of mushes up and gets stuck on the roof of your mouth and you have to peel it off. Here's the point. Not everything delicious is nutritious. What I really wanted to have up here, you know, I wanted to have a loaf of Wonder Bread just to kind of give you a visual, but what I really wanted was like a Twinkie because that does taste good. I like it, but do you know how bad that is for you? Are you starving to death with a stomach full of Savior substitutes? What is your Wonder Bread? And would you like to exchange it today? So many of us in life try and fill our lives and attempt to meet our needs and satisfy our longings with things that are not Jesus. And when Jesus says, "I'm the bread of life," he's saying, "I want you to consume me and I want you to be consumed by me." Here's what he's saying. I want to have radical relationship with you. I want it to be reckless abandon. I want to be the center of your life, the focus of your life, the holy obsession of your life. That's the bread of life. And it offended some people. Oswald Chambers puts it this way. I like this. He said, "God ventured his all in Jesus Christ to save us, and now he wants us to venture our all with total abandon, confidence in him." So where you at in your relationship with the bread of life? It's possible that maybe someone in this room or somebody listening online, maybe you've never really considered this kind of a relationship with God through Christ. That can change today. Maybe God somehow by his Spirit is tugging on your heart and saying, I want that. The world has left me wanting. The relationships in my life have left me wanting. Where can I find this deep, lasting, eternal satisfaction? You can find it in Jesus. And it's simple. You come to him. You ask him to forgive you your sins. You trust in what he did on the cross for that forgiveness. And when you do that, you give your life to him as Lord and Savior of your life. And you say, "Jesus, right now, I want to lose control, and I want to give you control of my life." And maybe you've never done that. Today you can do that. Simply, as we conclude in prayer, you can pray and say, "Jesus, I want you to be the bread of life for me. I want to consume you and be consumed by you. Come to me, Jesus, today. Or maybe you're here today and your relationship with God has been sort of wanting, it's been lacking, and you want to go deeper, and what I've been talking about is appealing to you, it's compelling, and you want to say, you know what, I need to do that. I need to get to a better place in my life where I'm really more consumed with Jesus. Today you can make a renewal of commitment. You can do that as we pray. As the worship team comes, I have one more scripture for the screen by way of conclusion. Paul kind of summarized this teaching of Jesus well and how he responded to it in Galatians 6:20. He said this, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So if you'll just stand with me, we've got one more song to sing. And if we've got someone for the prayer corner, it's possible that you came today and you have a prayer need and you'd like to receive prayer. We like to end our services that way to give you that opportunity. All right, let's pray one more time. So God, I can pray for myself, especially today, and admit to you, God, I need help with this concept. I need help keeping you in the center of my life, keeping you as the focus of my life, to have you as the holy obsession of my life. Help me, God. Help us, God, everybody here, everybody listening, Lord, that we could learn to die to ourselves and live for you. Deliver us from a mindset where our relationship with you is transactional and we give something to you because we think we're going to receive something from you. Thank you, Jesus, that you came not to give bread, but to be bread. That you are the bread of life. Help us, God, to consume you and to be consumed by you. Day by day, moment by moment, choice by choice. Thank you for the promise that this will give us a full life. A life with purpose and meaning. And it leads to eternal life with you forever. Help us, God, to keep this in the center of our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.